has. For Steve, we can proceed. Who would like to fire the first shot?
Thanks, Steve, for that presentation. Just had a question regarding the alignment of the various distribution reviews that you're doing. You had that very crowded slide there. I do note that at the end of the ERIC report of last year, there was a recommendation in terms of improving the framework for national transmission planning that the all the transmission, the electricity transmission reviews should be aligned in timing. And then I noticed in the response from the AEMC that there's also good at arguments for aligning the transmission reviews with the local distributor in relation there. Now, that seems to me a fair challenge to achieve both of those objectives unless you're going to have one massive review. So I was just wondering your thoughts about what is the best approach and do we need any of these alignments and whether you can accommodate them.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Look, it's a... It's an interesting issue. There are pros and cons, and I guess that's what regulators often say. I think there'll be, obviously if it's going to happen, it'll happen over time. The context of the ERIG's report was really in transmission, where they're saying if we're going to have a national planner for the grid to hook in with that to make sure that that national planning process is aligned with the regulatory process, should the regulator set prices for all grid companies around Australia at the one time. That makes sense, but that's going to be a very intensive exercise. And I think that the issue for us in the sector is going to be, can we resource it, for one? Secondly, we spend a lot of time getting to know businesses and looking at the detail of CapEx proposals. Given the timelines we've got now where we've got to have a reset done in 11 months for transmission, you know, can we do all that for across the nation at one time? So I think there are pros and cons. We certainly, if that's the policy conclusion, we'll certainly work towards it. But there also needs to be a major alignment. I think we'd need to sort of align some of the timelines to make it happen. Can I say it's not a priority for us, frankly? And look, to be frank, planning is a... it changes all the time. So if we're doing that on the basis that we've got this big plan and we have to have regulation happening at the same time that to make that plan happen, I suspect the national planner will change the plan on a yearly basis. So I think I'd have to be convinced that if that's the argument, that's a valid argument. But not ruling it out.
Richard Harrison from Qantas. Steve, I noticed in your presentation you had a comment about the amount of investment in transmission and distribution, but what about generation?
Yep. Well, we only had so much time, so I guess so we left that slide at home. But, look, I think it's a good question because regulation in the network sector is regulated. Investment in the network sector is regulated. So we have this very intensive process where the businesses come forward to the regulator with a bunch of arguments, and we have to form a view as to whether they're reasonable or not. It's a much more transparent process. The issue for generation is you do need it to be delivered by the market, not the regulator. So we are relying in an energy gross pool market here for that investment to have the appropriate price signals, for the market to deliver the appropriate price signals, and for the sector to respond to those price signals so we get investment happening on a timely basis. Now, on the chart I showed before, I think the history in the NEM is quite good. We have had to date, you know, looking forward, whenever you look at it, we have had this requirement years ahead for generation to occur, and it's effectively occurred. Some of it by government-owned businesses, some of it by private businesses, but it's occurred. Whether it continues to occur, I guess some people would have a view about, in a timely way, whether that's going to happen or not, but historically it has. But I think there are going to be some challenges there with this greenhouse issue. and making sure we've got the appropriate price signals going forward if we're going to have an efficient delivery of generation. But historically, it's happened. And if you look at the causes of reliability across the NEM, the generation sector and the transmission sector have been very reliable. Most of the outages when we go home and we get frustrated because our power has gone off are due to failures at the distribution end, where the costs of building the grid to overcome those outages, marginally can be very, very high.
Chris White from RMIT. As a middle road consumer in the market, in your presentation you didn't really talk very much about green power and you just mentioned it then. And I was just wondering if you could give us your view as to where you see green power moving in the market and what the impact of the current sort of government positions on climate change is going to have for us in the future.
Yep. Well, I guess, our role really is to look at the market and make sure that people operate according to the rules. I think issues such as green power, nuclear or whatever, whichever way we're going to go, are really policy initiatives taken by the policymakers. From our point of view, we need to make sure that there is, regardless of the technology that governments want to give impetus to, that there is an unbiased, unfettered access to the grid, so that solar, if it's hot rocks, if it's wind power, or some other solution, clean coal technology, the raft of things that are currently on the bandwagon, we need to make sure that in a transmission sense, that the access arrangements work so that we don't have all those people can get access to the grid. Now, of course, that doesn't mean they pay the same price effectively for access, but the cost of those technologies is quite different. And I think the big debate that's going on nationally at the moment is that if we are to move, and I think the general populist view is, a favouritism towards cleaner technologies, I think the issue is that will come at a cost. We were just talking before that we need to make sure that people are aware of that. But as far as the AER is concerned, we are totally unbiased in terms of the technologies that will deliver energy out into the future. We need to make sure that we are unbiased in the way we regulate access to the grids.
While the next question comes, maybe I could chip one in. A friend of mine, a regulator in the UK, once said it's very hard to get right in regulation what you get wrong in structure. Now, there's a state nearby which has quite different ownership rules from ours and so forth. To what extent is your job made more difficult, or what's your take on the different structural relationships, ownership relationships, and how that impinges on the regulator?
That's a very pointed question, Michael. let me say this. I agree 100% that you cannot rely on regulators to do the job that should be done by structure. The NEM was premised on the basis, the whole design of the NEM, the wholesale electricity market, was premised on the basis that we would have a competitive structure in the generation sphere. If you look at the role that we have in terms of monitoring compliance with the rules and taking enforcement action in cases where, as I mentioned, you've got these very high price spikes occurring, we have a very limited role. Effectively, the only way we can take action is if a generator abuses one provision in the rules, which talks about rebidding, which is basically, in simple terms, a generator changes its bid at the 11th hour in bad faith to take advantage of a monopoly position it might be in. Now, that's never been tested, but other than that, we haven't got powers to do, if there are structural impediments in the market, if there is market power, if there is an investment standoff because of that, and prices increase because of market power, we have a very limited role. Now, can I say we will be very aggressive, however, in pointing out in our reporting and monitoring processes where those events occur. And we did that in July. I did that in June, I should say. And we won't shirk from reporting to the market what the causes of price spikes are. But in terms of, is the regulator able to solve a problem relating to structure? The answer is no. And my advice to governments simply is to make sure, in the best interest of consumers, that we've got the right sort of competitive structures right across the NEM and the right sorts of price signals.